Hi, I'm Rod.
And I'm Yasmina, and welcome to Life Trek.
Today we're talking about human interaction. And this has been something that's kind of been on our minds for, I guess, well, years.
I was going to say, since yesterday.
For a while. It's like the things that pop up, things that make you go, like when people cancel plans with you at the last minute and you're like, you want a friendship or you want a relationship with me, but then you cancel, like, yeah, without much. And that does happen sometimes. Like, I totally get it. Like, things come up, or emergencies happen, or you've got family commitments, like, stuff happens. But when it's habitual, then I feel like you're sending a message that says, well, you're not as important to me, yeah, as maybe I am to you.
I feel, or, like, we always have that one friend, you know, that we've known that they tend to, like, bail out. I know, you know, when I was a younger mom and had play dates, and of course, you know, you set all this time up and effort, and, you know, person calls you or texts you, you know, this was again years ago, and you're like, you know, it gets to the point you're like, of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course something came up.
Yeah, because it always
because
does.
They're,
yeah,
like that flaky friend, and, yeah, it's just not making in that effort.
Yeah. Or like I noticed with the kids, especially when all of our kids were growing up, and you go to drop off, you know, your daughter at her friend's house, and or somebody drops their daughter off at your house, which is, to me, even weirder. And they just drive up, basically kick the kid out of the car and drive away.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know who they're dropping the kids. I mean, to me, I think, like, you should meet the parents. You should at least walk them to the door and do the handoff and get a sense of who it is that you're leaving your child with.
Yeah, and I wonder what age that stops. Because I know early on, when we first moved to this town, I was definitely trying to make friends, and that seemed to not be a thing. They would just drop off the kid and you're getting ready to meet the parents, and the parents have gone. Or when they come to pick them up, you're like, okay, maybe this is the time,
yeah,
they're going to come.
And they drive up and they honk.
Or they honk, yeah. Or, yeah, they had texted their, you know, their child to come, you know, they're here, and then they leave. And so you just don't get to ever meet them.
Yeah.
And I never know of, is it like, is it because, you know, I get sometimes, I mean, you're in a hurry or you don't just look presentable. But I can't tell you time and time again, and I realized, nope, it wasn't that. They just did not want to interact.
Yeah.
And just really making that effort to get to know the person, individual. Again, like, I have so many stories of how many people would just drop off their kid, not knowing, and luckily we're good parents, but,
yeah,
I kind of, like, always like to see the house, like, you know, is it clean? Is it safe? Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, of course, a messy house, but, like, is it even safe for my child to be there? But a lot of these parents, you know, but, and again, we've talked about that human interaction piece, is we're trying to make friends and interact with people, but, you know,
maybe they're just really fulfilled in that department.
They have enough friends. Yeah. They're like, we're good. We don't need any more friends.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that is, like, one thing about, if you're in a mode where you're trying to, as an adult, it becomes harder to make friends, or it can be.
And when you say older, like, I mean, we're like 40s and 50s, so.
I just said adult.
Oh, adult.
Yeah. I didn't say how old I was.
Well, I think people who are in their 20s, even though they're an adult,
yeah,
and maybe times are changing, you tend to just have more of a social life.
Yeah, and usually that's because you're, like, in college or school or whatever, and or you're at a job where you are meeting people and all of that. But it can be harder as you get older, and, you know, especially you're getting to the age where your kids have left home.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend who, he was telling me one day, you know, he was going to do something with a friend of his, and knowing him, I kind of joked around, and then I said, is this a friend that you met on your own, or is this a friend because they're one of your kids' parents? And he kind of laughed, and he's like, yeah, they're my daughter's parents, blah, 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 you know. But that's kind of how,
yeah,
that
works.
Yeah,
and that's such a
then
great opportunity to make friends when you're sitting in the bleachers, or,
yeah,
you know, or you're volunteering in the classroom. And again, when you're going to a new city, I know like in our town recently started a group, forgot the name of it, but basically Walking Moms. It's like you get together, your ki it doesn't matter how old your kids are, from 0 to 18, it's just a place to go meet. And I love that this mom, because that's kind of what I do, is you create these groups and you make this effort for people to show up. But again, it's for moms, you know,
But
if you are
that's
not.
a great way. I mean, that's one of the classic ways to try to make friends. It's like you get involved in a hobby or you start a group. Like you started the paddleboard group for ladies to go
Yeah.
paddleboarding and
But even then, like in our group, we have 100 people. And in our, when we do get together, there's like two or three people. And it's just, you know, I think it just, it's harder to connect with people the older you get.
Although
And
I do think that some of those things, like they have to hit like a critical mass, like enough people have to go on it occasionally for it to eventually have people like go in mass. Like you'll suddenly one day have six or seven, eight people show up and it'll kind of grow from there. It seems like those groups are always that way. Like they're just trickling for a long time, and then eventually something kind of the right mix of people or whatever happens, and then now you've got a much bigger group.
yeah, when I talk with them, like one person, they were in their 60s and shared with me they have a hard time connecting with people in their age group because a lot of them are not physically fit. And I didn't think about that. Where another person said they weren't sure. I get that a lot. Well, I wasn't sure. I don't really know how to paddleboard and, you know, not just kind of going out and.
Am I going to go out with a group that's going to leave me behind? Am I,
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, you just never know. You never know who you're going to meet.
So anyway, we've been thinking about this for a while for a variety of reasons, and not singling out anybody that's in our lives or anything, but just because it's something that we've noticed across the board that people can, I guess, be flaky or sometimes, and it's true of all of us. But if you're wanting to make relationships, like I find when I'm out in public and I say hello to somebody, and they just say nothing back, you know. Like in general, if you want to be somebody that wants to meet people, and we are social animals, then practice being friendly, smiling at people, you know, not in a creepy way, right? But like just being a human being and recognizing that there's other human beings out there that are decent people, and are just being friendly, you know.
Yeah, again, like that human interaction piece, I think that, you know, I'm sure COVID had changed a lot of things, but now we're in a place where, you know, if it makes you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, you know, and that's totally fine. But we are in a place where you can still interact with people. But I just concerned, like even I know with the kids, you know, they weren't going to school for a little bit, and like my son is now taking a public speaking class. That was something I was like, you know, ha taking that pub, being comfortable socializing with people, having conversations. And I get some people have that social anxiety. I know I do. I've come a long ways. It used to, the idea of going to these in-person meetings, and it still does a little bit. You know, and then you get on your phone because you don't really want to interact with anyone because you don't know people. But it takes a lot for someone to just, you know, get out of that comfort zone and go up and talk to someone, make that conversation, because you'd be surprised that that person is feeling uncomfortable as well. I'm just finding myself doing it more. And I'll continue to do that, but I tell my children to make that effort. Talk to the person, ask them questions or compliment them on something. You know, you're do something to where you're not just sitting, you know, even if you're in a waiting room, like when I know when I go to my, well, therapy appointments and I sit there, I notice people sitting on their chairs, they're all on their phones. You know,
That's everywhere.
and
Dentist
every,
office
yeah,
and
exactly.
everywhere,
And it's, you know, how do you put that away? And, you know, and you don't have to maybe talk to the person, but just acknowledge that they exist. So we're just walking around with our
Faces in our
faces in our
phones.
phones.
It's I think a lot of people too, they've had like a couple of bad interactions with folks. Sat down, said something to somebody, and then that person just, drained their soul because they wanted to talk so much, or they were rude back, or whatever. And so they had this negative experience. And so a lot of people just clam up because they don't want to re-experience a negative experience. But I think that you have to keep putting yourself out
Yeah,
there.
and reaching out to people. I think now is more than ever. I mean, I don't have the data in front of me when it comes to depression or mental health. I think we talked about that, pulling that up. And my background is in public health, but that is definitely a number one preventative factor is, again, is reaching out to people and socializing, even if it's just a text. I know one of the things during last year, which we still haven't talked about, what happened last year in our life with my son. It's just a horrific year. But a friend of mine had reached out to me and said, "Hey, do you want to go on a walk or coffee? And we don't have to talk about it. We can just go out." And that was so helpful, again, because you. Just people care, and it tells you that, people actually do care about you. And they want to spend time with you.
Yeah,
It's just making an
absolutely.
effort.
Yeah, and it's one of the other ways or misconceptions about friendships and all of that is actually, let me see. I was just gonna read that.
Oh, sorry.
Was really, what does it say here? Yeah, the like some misconceptions sort of about friendships. And I had been looking some stuff up before this podcast, but one of them was making friends is easy and should come naturally, which is not necessarily the case. And another one was being vulnerable is a weakness. But honestly, being vulnerable is a really good way to actually make friends, actually deepen connections with people, because then they learn to trust you more and you get to see like the real person. And even though you might feel exposed and vulnerable, if somebody is trying to pursue a friendship with you, they're going to appreciate that more because you've entrusted to them something that was sensitive, something, vulnerable about yourself. And now they actually like and trust you more. Obviously, you don't want to overshare, but I can think of a number of examples in my life where, somebody who is normally fairly stoic or friendly without, a lot of baggage to them, and then they share something with you that you're like, whoa, that's pretty heavy. And like, I didn't know this was going on in your life, and it's not that you can necessarily do anything about it except be a friend, be there for them. But it also, for me, I noticed that it makes me appreciate that person more. It makes me more considerate of them, more, I don't know, I just, there's more of a connection there.
Yeah, and I know we were going to talk about more of that in our other series, but yeah, my therapist had brought it up because I was not being as vulnerable as I could. And we talked a lot about different things of why that was, and then culturally, based on, in your culture, what are some of the things or reasons why you don't open up too much? Because in our culture, I mean, from my experience, we don't. It's very surfacey. And so after last year with that accident, I was not, it was just so hard for me to open up. And that the more I talked about it, more realizing like I don't really show my true self to others. I mean, I do to some extent. But I think for a lot of reasons, kind of like what you've written here, like our childhood, our upbringing and our inability to connect with others as adults. When I read that, I was like, yep, that's something we talked about with in
Yeah,
therapy.
even for me, who didn't, necessarily grow up in the culture that you grew up in, but the culture that I grew up in, with where my mother would share feelings, sometimes not in the best, most positive ways, but my dad did not share feelings at all. Like I, it, you, except maybe anger, right? And
Yeah,
I'm not
we
blaming
have that in
my.
common. That was a lot. That was the same thing. It was anger or happiness. You're either happy or you're mad. And if you're sad, you're like, why are you sad? Don't be sad.
And I didn't get a lot of explanation for why things happened, from a feeling level. And that was just how it was in my dad's house. I mean, my parents were divorced, and I was living with my dad for a good portion of time, and then my mom for a portion of time, and worlds of difference between them as far as expressing emotions. And for me, like, it was important to express emotions, but we're also from, we were previously married, both of us, to other people, and in my previous marriage, sharing emotions and talking about stuff was really, really difficult. But it's like so key to being able to work through issues, to being able to talk things out, and to deepen the relationship. And if you can't do that effectively like an adult, without screaming and throwing things and just, you know, whatever, you're not going to get anywhere. You're kind of dooming yourself to failure right there.
And females, I know, like in our groups, I had no problem connecting with moms when the kids were little. I mean, that was like kind of my arena, just play dates and coffee dates, more play dates. And we talked about our husbands. We complained about our husbands, mostly complained about our husbands. And so there was so much of that interaction, like, and you had so many similarities, similar experiences that are going on, you know, maybe trouble with the breastfeeding or during the toddler years. And I even see our Facebook page that I'm part of too, with the mom groups here and people asking questions and that connectivity. And then after that, it just poof, it's just gone. You know, that interaction, like, where do you find that? Where do you find that closeness if you didn't grow up? Like, I also know people who are like, oh yeah, we've been friends since high school and we, you know, always have like a ladies' night. Don't have that either, you know, or people are part of a church, you know, and they have like the women's Bible study and all this, you know, that connectivity. We talked about that kind of yesterday when we were kind of brainstorming this idea. So then how do you meet people and where do you meet people? How do you make those connections? And I know we have some tips and stuff, kind of what we've been doing, like right. with your writers group and that you've been doing. We have a book club that we do and a paddleboard. So there's a theme on how to make friends, but it seems it's a bit harder, you know, to do that and as you get older.
Let's keep pursuing that, but let's take a quick break. And we're back. Okay, so we left off. You were talking about where you meet friends, basically, like churches, that people go to church and meet their friends there, or groups like some of the stuff that we're doing with my writers group or with my PowerPoint group.
Because again, when you're younger or like when you're in college, you know, there seems to be spaces like clubs. There's that structure or to meet people.
Right.
And then, you know, young parents in schools, volunteering, you know, again, those similarities. But as your kids get older, or maybe you don't have kids, you know, not to focus on, there's a lot of people that don't have children. How do you meet friends, even if you hadn't moved to a new city?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. Even like, and you don't have to be, you know, our age for this to work, but like I was telling our son to, because he is really into hiking, to join a local group that's a hiking group, and he, you know, joined up with them. I don't know if he's made any friends through them necessarily yet, but the idea is that you get involved with things that like-minded people are doing.
Again, that human interaction, you're still, because he was hiking by himself for a while, and he wanted to go with people. And he joined the Mazamas.
And has gone on several hikes with them as another way. But I think that... I did this little list before the meeting, like joining a club, attending social events. You got involved in a club with the city of Ridgefield, where we live, and have been helping out with them.
Did I join a club? Yeah.
Just an organization here in the city. People, you know, you started your social media group for paddleboarding, taking up a new hobby or expanding on one you have, like our son did with hiking. But I think that the more like soft, not so much hard recommendations are, one, to say yes to invitations. When people invite you out, invite you to do something, say yes, even if you feel nervous about it, you know, go do it, put yourself out there. And then be open and approachable just everywhere. Like we were talking about earlier, just smiling and saying hello to people.
Yeah,
or like at the gym, when you and I go to the gym, and both of you and I have started conversations with people there, or made friends with people there and gotten to know people there. And it's not necessarily blossomed yet into anything where like we're inviting them over to our house.
But I think it sends that message again, like, you know, like we're here to support each other. Again, as humans, you don't have to, you know, I know people like to kind of be in their own space. I totally get it. Like when I'm there, I'm working out, working hard. But it is nice for someone to compliment you or, you know, or recognize you, even just like a head nod.
Yeah. Which guys do that a lot. Like, you know, the little head nod.
I've noticed girls don't do anything until you approach them. They're like, oh yeah. You know, like if I feel like I'm in their space and they're, you know, working out, I need to get a weight, and I kind of wait till they're done with their rep. And I'm like, you know, cause everyone has headphones. So you're just like, you know, mouthing, you know, hey, can I take this? And then usually they're super friendly. But I don't really, I do see a lot of guys going up to a guy, you know, and I don't see that in the girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, the last one of those sort of other suggestions was just being consistent, you know, when it comes to relationships and staying in touch with people and following up with people. And when you make plans, you follow through with those plans and all of that, because you can kill a friendship just as quickly as, you know, you started one. Just by not being consistent or not being, you know, real and approachable and all those other kinds of things.
And I no longer reach out to those people that I was reaching out to constantly, because I'm just like, you know, I mean, it takes, you know, effort. And if you're just not going to put in that effort, then I'm not going to waste my time.
I agree. I say that all the time about, like, if you're not going to invest in the relationship, then why am I, you know, going to invest back? It's a waste of my time, and I'll spend my calories on somebody who is going to invest in the relationship. And that even, honestly, to a degree, for me at least, that even includes family. You know, I have family members that just don't put any effort into the relationship. And at a certain point, I'm going to say, well, okay, then I'm going to move on.
Yeah, because it does take, I mean, we do a lot of hosting and we love hosting, and it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And it's such... that's a bummer. I'm thinking of another word, you know, it saddens me. Sometimes it angers me that you do all this and people kind of last minute, like, oh, you know, something came up, or, you know, not feeling well, which I totally get, you know, like if you have
stuff happens. Stuff, yeah, sure.
But again, there's those people, and
we're not bitter at all.
Not bitter at all. you have to make that effort. There's so many times where I've gone to a function where in my past that I, you know, I didn't really care to go, or maybe I made that plan thinking maybe I'm too tired, but it's the people that show up, you know. I mean, we went to a birthday party a couple years ago, or I don't know if you remember, it was a pretty significant year for that person, and I was shocked to see, like, I was like six people showed up. Do you remember this?
I would need more details.
Well, I was trying to tell. Okay. They turned a good number. Anyways. And they're your friend, and so I kind of knew them through you, and I went.
Oh.
So now you know. But that made me so sad. And that's when I knew, when I turn whatever number, I guess that big number.
Yeah.
I will not be inviting people over for a party, because if you don't show up, you better be sick. You better have COVID.
Yeah.
Because then it saddens me. You're like, you can't even be there. People couldn't even show up for that, you know, this big event. And there was like all this food, and we just kind of sat around and we're like, okay, this is kind of awkward. And later on, you and I went into Portland and walked around. And
Well, I think it's really, I remember that day making a video of you and I walking around after that and saying, we went to our friend's house, because I think, and what I said at the time was, I think it's really important, or we think it's really important to celebrate key milestones in people's lives. And, you know, if I get an invite for something like that, then I'm going to go celebrate. If at all can, I'm going to do that to support my friend. and to say, I appreciate you, I value you, and all those other kinds of things. And you find, I think, that not only does that have meaning for the person, but there are benefits that come from that. I mean, we met some other folks there, and we had a nice time. And chances are, if you put yourself out there, the odds are you're going to get something positive out of it. I think too many people, especially these days, for some reason, I don't know why, maybe all the COVID stuff, maybe just the, you know, more people are in their screens more and all of that. But for some reason, people tend to be much more inward looking and less social. And they may be on social media, which social media is a great thing. You can use it to your advantage for setting up meetings and, you know, groups and stuff like that. But it's there to support what you should be doing, which is physically getting together and doing stuff. It's not a replacement for it, or at least it shouldn't be. I don't think that's healthy for us as human beings.
Yeah, I see all these videos too of people promoting that. You know, they just hate people, and like, and I, you and I both are introverts. You know,
and
when we go to these functions, by the end, we kind of does suck our energy out. But again, it's you're making that effort. You know, that's like the least you could do is to show up.
Yeah.
Acknowledge the person. I think it says a lot. But I don't like those videos that they just hate. You know, we need that community.
I think that's just a lot of bitterness. And I also think it's, I say this word a lot, but weakness.
Oh. You do say that.
Weak. Because it does take effort. It takes effort to overcome whatever's going on socially out there and some bad actors, but it also takes effort on your part to overcome your own fears, your own insecurities, your own just unwillingness to get up off your butt and go do something. Like, you have to overcome that. And if you're just saying, I'm staying home because I hate people, to me, that's a cop-out. That's a cover for your own unwillingness to do something that's even just a little bit difficult. And it's not that difficult. You know, you're not climbing Mount Everest. You're going into a social situation.
Yeah. And a lot of us feel that way. When I took public speaking, I was shocked. When I was doing Toastmasters, I was shocked how many people have that fear of public speaking or, interacting. And again, I still have that social anxiety, even though I grew up with like tons of family and tons of people around me. But I've been trying to challenge myself. And I've noticed even my daughter doing that. We were at that Hanukkah, and usually she just follows me around like glued to my hip. And here she was talking to people, older people, which I know a lot of younger people have this fear of, like, you know, talking to the older generation. And she was so proud of herself that making their effort.
Yeah.
And again, how, you know, how cool of that is to this young person to be able to connect with the older generation, because we don't have, well, I guess she does have grandparents closer that are here, but that's about it. It's not like we live in a community where we've got aunts and uncles and
cousins.
In Morocco, we just don't have that. So you're so used to just hanging out with your peers. And then when you're having to now interact with adults, I mean, I hope she has that skill set. She's learning. She's definitely learning. And I'm so proud of her.
I think she's learning from you too. Because when you and I first met, you had a lot of those same feelings, and you were starting in the workforce in a way that you had never done before. And so you put yourself through Toastmasters. And
oh, yeah, because there was like, I mean, meditation going on prior to these social.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, because I understand those people when they have social anxiety. I totally get it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having to meditate. I'm having to
prep myself,
yeah. Drink green tea, like do a lot of deep breathing. Gosh, like my face and chest gets all like red and my heart's pounding. And as soon as they start to be like, okay, we're going to go around the room and do introductions. And I'm just like,
yes, Mina, can you tell us about yourself?
My God, right? So I totally get that. But then when I push myself through those, I'm like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And kind of going back to that being vulnerable piece, like I found myself, if I am show up, you know, as me, my authentic self, and be vulnerable, I'm actually less anxious because I'm not trying to put on this facade. And so I'm just kind of being myself. And yeah, I'm like, I'm in my 40s, you know, and I'm just learning this. Yeah. So I'm hoping that, you know, my daughter takes out. It's really cool to see her just excel in that, which I wish I did have that when I was her age.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, it's different for different folks. Of course, I was, you know, in the military and ended up, you know, going on to be an officer and all of that. And I think through that experience, that's where I kind of learned to, in a lot of ways, to interact with people. Because before that, probably in sports too, that helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, you know, and again, I was a stay-at-home mom. I mean, not when I was a teenager, but in my younger years, I was a stay-at-home mom. So that my only interaction was children.
And other moms.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think it's so good. Yeah. Sport, like you said, sports is such a good way to, I know me at the gym, I talked to you today about being at the gym. And just having to walk around, like I used to get anxious having to get up and go to the bathroom,
yeah,
at a restaurant because I felt like people were looking, and it made me anxious.
Yeah, and I remember when you first started the gym, you didn't want to go lift where the guys were lifting, you know, with the free weights and
now
stuff
like
that.
Move aside.
Yeah,
let me pick up my 20 pounds next to your 400 pounds.
Yeah, but. But that's awesome, and that's only because that you put yourself out there. You put yourself in an uncomfortable situation until you became comfortable in it.
Yeah,
and that's how it's got to be.
And the same for you. And I know we're here complimenting each other, and you too. But it was kind of the same thing as you. Like when you know right off the bat, you don't look as the most. Kind. I mean, you're very, very what? Kind, but you give off this vibe, like, you know, you're just like, But I really appreciate you, how you've like even done this writer's group and got together with these ladies and just so thoughtful. Like you really do take the time, you know, to smile at people and chat with people. And I love that about you. And so all these assumptions that we have, cause like, yeah, if I saw you, I'm like, oh, I know his type, ex-military and, but you're not any of those things. Well, you can be if needed.
If you make me.
Yeah, but you're not at all. So again, it's just these assumptions, you know, that we have with people. And you go out of your way to be kind to people.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that's important because we are all human beings. We're all on this planet together. And it's healthy for us to be that way, not just for other people, you know, it's nice to have other people, but it's also healthy for us to be friendly and be in good relationships and not stressed out by every possible interaction we have with going in and making the assumption that, you know, this other person is going to be a decent human being. It makes me feel better. Like I feel with you all the time. Of course, I feel comfortable. I feel happy. I feel like I'm going to live forever because I'm so happy being married
be
to
better.
You. But I also feel that same kind of lightness of being when I'm with other people being nice, you know, and getting that back in return. Nobody wants to go into a situation where, you know, everybody's angry around you all the time.
Yeah, I mean.
But you give off that vibe and they're going to be that way back towards you.
Yeah, there's a lot to be angry about in this world right now and what we're living in. People are going through so much, but you're right. You know, if you just show just small act of kindness or calling people. I know with that other person in your writer's group, like you reached out to them because you were concerned and just, you know, touching base, going to lunch, reaching out to people. Yeah, I mean, I love that you do that because, back to that human interaction, like we're not saying you need to like throw on these big, huge house parties, but it could be like a neighbor in your neighborhood, maybe an older person looking for someone to talk to.
Oh my gosh. And I looked at I don't know if you saw, I had posted some charts about how people's interaction with other people in general. There was a series of charts and they were showing how when they're younger and they're in school and everything, they, of course, they have a lot of interaction with people. And then as they get older, that dies off really, really precipitously. And there's a lot of older people out there that don't have anybody. And I think looking around your neighborhood or seeing other people that are hurting or that they're lonely or whatever, loneliness is terrible, man. It is crushing. And if you can do anything to leave some of that with anybody, you know, just even occasionally, I think that it gives huge benefits for that person, but also for your own soul. I mean,
Yeah, even
it's.
a grocery shopping, you know, when I try and going to the grocery store and, you know, smiling at people or saying good morning, I love watching people, and I know sometimes we point things out to each other, like point out person, and like you see their face, their facial expressions are just so angry at the world, and maybe there is reason for that to be, you know, but it's just again making sure that people feel seen and feel heard, and
But if you take that risk, like when I was in Italy, I was one day, I'd just gotten to Italy. I was completely lost, and I saw this old guy going down the street, Italian. I didn't really speak Italian yet, enough to like ask directions, but I was gonna try because I didn't have any other options. And I go up to this guy who looks like just a thunderclouds over his head. He did not look happy. He was just bitter looking and angry. And I went up and I asked him if he knew where the name of the base was. I told him the base that we were at, and he turned to me and just lit up. A smile went across his face, and he was trying to tell me, but we couldn't really communicate. And so then he's like, motioned to his car, and he wanted to drive me there. And I was like, okay. And he just talked to me the whole. I don't know what he said, but he drove me to base and talked my ear off the whole way. Friendliest guy ever. I'm like. That just showed
yeah.
me, you know, like reaching out can be awesome, you know.
Remember when we were in Portugal? This reminds me of last year when we were in Portugal. We had landed in Lisbon and we had to trek it all the way to a hotel. And it was like super hot and we had our suitcases and we're dragging it. Do you remember that guy who was like in his decked out suit? I wouldn't say decked out, but it was like his like a three piece suit. It was like 90 degrees out. Do you remember him asking if because he wanted to help. Do you remember that? Like he wanted to help. I don't know if you remember, but
Yeah,
you
no.
not remembering, huh? But I just remember him trying to like talk to us and he's wanting to help. But he was probably in his 80s. Like one, I'm not sure if you can physically pull this suitcase. But again, just how nice and approachable
It
he
puts a smile
was.
on your
Yeah,
face. You know,
yeah.
that's great. Even if that person can't help you and everything else, just seeing that somebody's making effort
Yeah.
on your behalf, that's awesome. Well, we are out of time, unfortunately, unless you had any last thing to cover that we
No, I
didn't
mean, I
get
always
to.
have a lot to say. So this is good.
So I'll just say thank you, everyone, for joining us. We hope you got something out of this talk. Leave us a note or drop us a message on our Instagram page at instagram.com/alifetrek, all one word. You can also find us on anchor.fm/lifetrek, or just search for Lifetrek on Spotify, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, or Breaker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for listening.